Stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
I'm Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That Podcast, show number 47. Hey, you know what happens in three more shows, Gretchen?
I think we'll be at show 50.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. You're right. I was just thinking, well, we'll have three more shows under our belt. Well, this is show number 47, and it's right before Christmas. So get ready to enjoy the Christmas stylings of Jeff and Gretchen. I like getting into that low voice when I sort of say
styling.
Stylist. Yeah, styling. Low styling. Voice and stylings kind of go together. So we have a, I do have one Christmas topic on my list, but it's not going to be a real Christmassy show.
I have two Christmas topics.
Well, so maybe it will be a Christmas show.
No. It's going to be a short Christmas topic.
So I've got some shout outs. You know, after my pleading last week, we did get some feedback from some very nice people. Jeff from Monroe, Ohio. I don't know exactly where that is. I did not Google it. I didn't Google Earth it. But he had a nice comment on the podcast blog. Michael from Houston, who runs another podcast called AnotherQuizShow.com, sent us a very nice email on the blog. Basically, he was the one, Gretchen, that said that he was chuckling while he was running and wondering what people were thinking. So that makes us feel nice, although I don't know what part of the show made you chuckle.
So. Yeah, it wasn't intended to be funny.
Probably not. He did not say whether he was laughing with us
or at us.
So a little concerned about that. Eric wrote a nice comment in the PCA, Podcast Alley, the voting thing that you do every month. And Eric is from the podcast How To with Madeline Merced. Actually, it's a video cast. He does a great job. Eric is a guy that's been on PCA for, heck, probably about as long as I have, and he is just the nicest guy. So thanks, Eric. Appreciate you listening very much. And
thanks, you three.
And that's, we heard from all of our listeners. Well, my mom listens, but... So, hey, I had a funny thing happen to me. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the podcast today.
What happened? You were graphing your stocks and you discovered that you weren't all in small cap and you needed to move to large cap.
That's an inside joke. I was informing Gretchen of how proud I am of my spreadsheet. I think she thinks I'm a nerd.
Well, you said it. That's your word, not mine, Jeff.
No, you know I'm getting my house painted. And it's just about done, by the way. Little tiny details being done right now.
Is he still working in the rain? Is he out there with an umbrella?
He was out there today, scraping windows. Poor guy. But he had, you know what he told me today? He said, Jeff, it's unbelievable. People are coming by. They're asking me for paint referrals. They're saying they're stopping their cars and looking at the house and saying, wow, this looks really good.
Your house?
My house.
Here?
Here.
This house.
Hey, it's a nice house.
I'm sorry. I'm just surprised. Well, we actually did that with a couple houses too, right? Made you go up there with a Pantone book and say, look, hey, yeah.
Absolutely. Chris said he has some potential jobs from this. That's pretty cool. But anyway, so I get this thing in the mail about 2 weeks ago from the city of Dallas. And I open it up, and I can hardly even read it. It's like this hand scribble. And the first page is all in Spanish. That's what's really odd. The carbon copy version on the second page is the English version.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know where they think I live. But the primary language in Dallas is not Spanish. So anyways, finally kind of deciphered it, and it said, wood in the front of the house is exposed. So I look at the date, and this was about 20 days. I had just gotten the mail. It was 20 days before I had gotten the mail. And it said you had 30 days to respond, so which basically I had 10 days to respond. And I scratched my head. I went outside. Well, when the painters were scraping, there was probably exposed wood. And that's about the right date for it. That's really odd.
Yeah.
So I guess it's fixed. So I actually went ahead and called. And the guy I spoke to was very nice. And he goes, oh, okay. Are you referring to the stuff in the side... in the side alleyway, the junk in the report? And I said, I thought this was like open wood in the front of the house. And he said, oh, no, I went by and closed that one a while ago.
They found another one for you?
They found another one. So the painters kind of keep some of their equipment in the, on the side of the house. And it doesn't look bad at all. But they caught me on that. And I said, look, dudes, this, you know, it'll be gone. I mean, I'm... And
what about the truck in the alley next door that hasn't moved in 5 years? They don't care about that.
You didn't hear about that. I got a story on that. So the city of Dallas did come with a little red sticker and put it on the truck about a month ago. About 2 weeks later, I was going home, and they were towing it out. And I thought, hey, the little ugly yellow truck is gone.
But it's back.
Yay. Miraculously. A couple days ago, it appeared. It's back.
Because they paid the fees, and it's now out of impound.
I guess they must have paid the fees, and it's probably going to sit there another 5 years, never being moved. I don't know. I don't know what the violation was. But
well, what was your violation for the side of the house?
So there it was. So it was junk on the side of the house. And I said, well, part of that junk was stuff that the painters that I had on my side porch that I was waiting for the bulk delivery. And they said... And actually, I said, it just so happens that this morning I took that out to the front of the house where it's supposed to be. And I said, the rest of the stuff, there's paint cans and there's in-process work material that the painters have. And he said, well, just make sure that they don't have that exposed on the side of the house. I thought, wow.
There's people in Dallas that are on the city government that get paid to do that?
Well, that's what I asked him. I said, is this a new thing? Because I've been here 7 years and I'm sure I've, you know, I've not been the perfect person. He goes, no, we've been here forever. But he did say, because it recently has become a historic district, that there's a little bit more. And I don't, Gretchen, I guess I got to ask you. I was thinking to myself, boy, I'm really impressed, actually, the diligence of the city that they go around looking at houses. But then I thought, no, they probably don't. Somebody probably complained.
Somebody complained about you.
But who would complain about a house that's clearly being painted?
That is odd.
That's strange.
And it was only a month worth of painting, so...
It's really, really odd.
Probably the guy whose truck was towed probably thought you got his truck towed, so he was going to tow on you.
Well, actually, it's a woman and her aged mother, and I have a pretty good relationship with them. But, hey, you know, you could have been. Maybe they did think that.
Oh, well.
I didn't.
Well, Well, there you go, City of Dallas. Working hard. That's our taxpayer dollars.
Working hard. And really, I haven't, what is the action I did out of these things? Nothing. It would just go away in time, because it will. It's work in process stuff. Yeah, there you go.
Well, is that your Christmas story?
That was my Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Merry Christmas, Jeff.
Merry Christmas, Tiny Tim.
You got crap on the side of your house.
It's gone now already.
Well, I was going to
tell you. But I still think I have 5 days left to...
To respond. You'll probably get another handwritten note in Spanish.
No, that's the other thing. I don't even have to respond. They just close it off automatically.
Oh.
The guy goes by his car, and I guess he's checking. Wow, strange.
Well, you got an in with him. So if that ever happens to any of the listeners out there, you call Jeff, because he's got an in.
I don't have an in.
You don't?
He's on me.
He's
watching like a hawk, this guy. So I guess I need to find out what neighbors are rattling on me. I mean...
Maybe it's the one with the 18 cats across the street.
Clearly, there's painters there every day. The painters have a relationship with my neighbors. They know my neighbors more than I do, you know? And they do. And go figure.
Wow.
Yeah. So, what do you got?
Hey, Christmas.
Hey.
Christmas, just in case you
Christmas.
Were looking, because you did
it's
bring this up.
It's a little bit early for Christmas, isn't it? We got like more than a year and five days.
5 days to go.
A year and 5 days until Christmas, Gretchen. That's a long time.
That's a long time. But anyhow, Toys R Us felt the need yesterday to issue a press release just to let everybody know that 65,000 TMX Elmos were going to be delivered to their 587 stores in the next 5 days.
Wow.
Is that amazing?
Is that a coincidence that there's 5 days till Christmas?
Isn't that amazing? And also the Kid Tough digital camera, which you did say in the last podcast was one of the hottest sought-after gifts right now. 30,000 of those are going to be delivered.
That's hot.
30,000 Xboxes and...
That's hot.
6,000 PlayStation 3s.
That's
hot.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing that stores have to now issue press releases to tell us when stock's coming in?
Yeah.
That is pretty sick.
To avoid all those campers.
Pretty sick, actually.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So they're really going to make it happen. So... Like, but okay, if I was devoted to get a TMX Elmo, I'm not sure what the press release is telling me, because do I go tomorrow? Or well, do I go, when exactly? They're going to come through in every day in the next 5 days?
Yeah, whatever the delivery schedule is for that store, they'll be coming. So, and they'll probably even get special deliveries. So call your local store.
So you heard it first here on This and That podcast.
And
I guess the press
release.
Keeping
you up to date on TMX Elmo sightings.
Yes, that's hardcore reporting.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't imagine anybody even out there looking for them.
Yes.
Listen to us, but that's okay.
Well, I've got a gift that you can give your sports fan.
What?
Have you ever heard of something called a fathead?
No.
Well, I encourage people to go to www.fathead.com. I've seen this advertised during football games, and I thought, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I got to go to their website. This can't be real. It's got to be a joke. It's no joke, Gretchen. Here's what they are. They're life-size peelable and stickable pictures of your favorite sports heroes. So you can get a picture of, LeBron James. It's life-size and stick it on your wall. And you can take it. It doesn't stick there permanently.
Okay.
You can take it down and put it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And how much is that little?
It's $149. And if you go to the website, the big quote, the big, you know, front thing it says is, are you fan enough? And I'm thinking that should be changed to, are you gay enough? I mean, can you imagine anybody having one of these? So here's the top three NFL players.
Well, I guess I better take your present back then.
Oh, no. You got me a fathead.
I was lying when I said fathead. Did I know them? Of course I know them.
How
I got three rolled
know?
Up in my car.
I'm in Dallas. I want a Tony Romo fathead. That would be so gay if I had like a Tony Romo in my bedroom, the full size.
Well, I can imagine like for high school kids, they might like it.
I can imagine for kids. But they're marketing these, it seems like, to older people anyways.
To sports fanatics. Well, for $149 too, that's not exactly a kid price.
No. Top three NFL players, and I'm kind of checking your knowledge here, if you ever heard of any of these guys. Because you are such
a
sports fan.
No.
Number one is Brian Urlacher.
Didn't he just win something? No.
Well, and he goes to the Pro Bowl every year, and they did just announce Pro Bowl, so he probably...
Okay.
Peyton Manning, number two.
Yeah, I have heard of him.
Brett Favre, number three.
Yes, I've heard of him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
NBA, top three.
Uh-huh.
LeBron James, number one.
Yep.
Dwayne Wade, number two.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Dallas killer. Doesn't play for Dallas. Plays for Miami.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then Allen Iverson is number three.
Philadelphia, right?
Well, he
got
just in the news today. He's going to Denver.
He got traded, yeah.
And... get this. They have Cowboys cheerleaders. Okay? The number one is Andrea. Number two is Becca. Number three is Nicole. But right now, I want you to know that Andrea is on back order. So you can't get Andrea for Christmas. She's on back order. Life size.
Wow.
Okay.
And how about like Tiger Woods and
they've got
NASCAR?
I was just going to say NASCAR is the other big category. Mm-hmm. They've got baseball. They've got everything. They even have Star Wars. You can get full-size Darth Vader and Skywalker and all those people.
Wow.
So.
You could like put together an entire room full of all your heroes.
You could.
All over the walls.
I just can't imagine.
You just need a flat surface. Wow.
I just want to meet somebody who's ever bought one.
Okay, everybody, write in if you've got one. Send a picture, and Jeff will post it.
I will. Send a picture of where you've put that, and tell me what your friends think about it.
Honestly, what your friends think about it.
Honestly.
When they're not drunk.
When
they haven't had too much to drink.
Be honest. Although I have heard that if you get a fathead of Brian Urlacher in the bedroom, it's a turn on for the ladies.
You gonna try that? Okay.
Well, some guys need that, some guys don't. Let's just keep it there.
Okay, I found something that I found a little bit appalling, and I'll just make this quick, but I was just really shocked. Have you heard about the high school in Massachusetts that is no longer publishing the names of the honor roll students in the city newspaper?
No.
Because... the reason why is what's really upsetting, because there's too much stress in the lives of students, and they're too competitive. Oh,
I agree.
I find this so sad.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Do you?
Life is too stressful. Everybody should, as a society, crave the lowest common denominator.
That's right, we should.
And all seek that.
Well, apparently there were four suicides in Needham, Massachusetts, at their high school, and so the Principal Paul Richards has said in this statement, "In my opinion, this high expectations, high achievement culture has a dark side to it. As principal, I've heard a message loud and clear that stress is a primary concern for parents. The publishing of an honor roll has been identified as a potential contributor to the focus on grades." Well, what the hell is school about? Isn't the focus supposed to be grades? And aren't you supposed to give a pat on the back to the kids who have good grades?
Yes, you are.
I just sort of thought that's what the whole purpose of the honor roll was. But now they're going to give a personal letter of congratulations.
Wow.
Mailed to each student's home that's on the honor roll rather than printing it in the newspaper. And I just have to shake my head and
does
go,
the news,
whoa.
Does the newspaper bit, I mean, I remember I was in the National Honor Society in high school.
Oh, my God. Well,
believe
now
it or not,
nobody's going to know about that. It's going to have to be a clandestine.
It was printed in the local paper, and I never gave a really rat's butt if it was in the local paper or not. That wasn't the big part of it anyways.
Well,
that wasn't like, ooh, I got to make the local paper so we can send a clipping to grandma. You know, it's, no.
Well, I just think this is bad.
It's ridiculous.
Really, really bad.
Our education is already so behind other countries.
Yeah, so all these kids who are going to graduate, because these are high school students, you don't think they're going to be a little put off when they get to their first job and they see an employee of the month, or they see that there is people in the corner office, it's not them.
They won't be able to handle the stress.
It's not fair and equal out there, so you might as well get used to it. Oh, God, I'm just feeling really by that.
I wonder what the corporation of the future is going to be like.
Yeah.
Everybody gets corner offices.
That's right, and we're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. Mm-hmm.
If you have a bad idea, it's okay.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll still get the same raise as everybody else will get.
Oh, God. Well, don't we all anyhow? 2%.
Yeah. 2%, whether we like it or not.
That's right. And so anyhow.
That is appalling.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
All right, so are you ready for my Christmas-related thing?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This comes from Podcasting News, which is, I know you read religiously.
Oh, I do.
It's your favorite, so. This is the 10 worst iPod-related gifts out there. And you know.
Oh, there are so many.
There's a plethora.
Oh, my God.
Of stuff that's iPod-related. Uh-huh. So this is in no particular order, I don't believe. But the first one is a toilet paper dispenser. So this actually is a contraption that goes in the top of your toilet, and you put your iPod right there, and it's got speakers kind of on the sides. So when you're sitting on the can, you got speakers right next to your ear. That's on my Christmas
list. Guess I better
list.
Take that one back, too, besides that and the fathead.
No, I didn't say I wouldn't want that one. Did I? These may be lame for other people. Number two is iPod panties. What makes them iPod panties? They've got a built-in iPod pouch in the panties. Yummy.
Are these for men or women?
They're for women. Okay. And they're really, there's a picture of them. They're really skimpy panties, like panties usually are.
Uh-huh.
But they have a little pack for an iPod. So that's
when
nice.
Would you need that?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Oops, now I'm bouncing against things. iPod jeans. Now, there's nothing wrong with these iPod jeans, although I looked at the jeans, Gretchen, and they're just jeans with a few pockets. Well, jeans have pockets.
Right.
So there's nothing special about them.
This is a special iPod pocket?
But the jeans, the podcasting news editor said somebody would be pissed at getting these because you spent $250 on a pair of blue jeans when you could have bought me something cool. All right, there's an iPod Share that's put out by Pottery Barn, and what it does is you plug in your iPod to it, it vibrates to the beat. Okay, that's stupid. iPod bras is actually an iPod bra, and they had a picture of like somebody, a woman,
no,
not
a man.
A woman wearing this with the iPod in it,
uh-huh.
And there's this big lump in between the breasts, because that's apparently where the little pack is. So,
and
if you see a third lump in a woman who's working out, you'll know she's got the iPod bra.
I guess. Well, maybe the lump is in the panties too. So maybe she's got the iPod panties or the iPod bra. She could trade off.
Trade off
each day.
Hmm. Yeah. See where the reception is the best. Case number six is fake Altoids iPod case. This is just dorky. It looks like an iPod. It looks like an Altoids case, and it doesn't do anything. You just put your iPod in there. Seven is iBoxers.
Wouldn't you hate to throw that away?
Yeah.
Oops.
Exactly. Number seven is iBoxers, which is
the male equivalent of the panties.
And it's the
Are
same
they skimpy
thing.
Too?
They're not as skimpy. Number eight is called the iLoad iPod Loader. And what this does, it copies CDs to an iPod at a high speed without a computer. So is this a contraption?
Oh.
And they had an advertisement for this that I viewed. And the advertisement was this. They had two guys, and this pretty young thing walks up and says, I don't know how to get these CDs into my iPod. And one guy says, well, here, I'll go to my computer. I'll start to open up my computer, and I'll get that going. And then the other guy goes, hey, I got my iPod iLoader. And they show the two guys, and the guy with the iPod iLoader is done right away, and she goes home with him. So basically, if you have one of these,
you get the girl.
You get the girl.
Oh, there you go.
Number nine is the iPod breathalyzer. This is an attachment that you put on your iPod, and you can breathe in it, and it tells you what your blood alcohol is.
Hmm.
So,
interesting.
Now, the question is, you know, who do you give that to?
Exactly. What statement are you making about them if you're not buying that for yourself?
Yeah. Number 10 is a sexual one, an iPod vibrator for two. It's called the iBuzz 2. And there's actually two vibrators on it, and I don't want to go into it, but it's kind of gross, and I don't know what the point of it is.
And then you take the iPod out and continue using it elsewhere?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
So there's a few things that haven't been invented yet, but I think are ripe for being invented, and I wrote these down.
These are your iPod inventions?
These are my iPod inventions.
Okay.
So the first one is kind of a work-related one called the iProjector. How many times when you're putting together Microsoft PowerPoint presentation, you know, you have to haul your computer over to the projector, right. Blah, 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 blah. So just zip it into your iPod, take your iPod along, plunk your iPod into the projector, and press play, and you got music with your presentation. It's a no-brainer. The next one is the iDesk. So how many times you're sitting at your desk, whether at work or at home, and you have to say, where am I going to sit my iPod so I can listen effectively? A lot of times, there's no place, Gretchen.
I never say that.
I think one needs a built-in iPod compatible slot. Now, yeah, you might have to buy a new desk when you upgrade models, say go from a Nano to a full.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, we're talking about an iPod here.
As I
drop my pen. So I think it's a great idea. Maybe a $1,500 desk. You know.
There you go.
Okay, the next one two are kind of related, an iHouse and an iPort swing. I like to sit in my port swing, and I like to listen to tunes. I just want a place to like plug in my iPod and have the speakers integrated right there. Kind of like the iToilet thing. And the iHouse is the same thing. There's no reason why I shouldn't just be able to have a place, a little portal I can put the iPod in wherever I am in the house. And
I would think new houses have that, though, don't you?
Something
new,
like
new
that,
houses?
But maybe not for the iPod. I would, and again, you have to buy a new house every time you upgrade your
right,
iPod, probably,
right.
Which is smart. So also the iLawnmower. How many times you've been mowing your lawn, you say, where do I put my iPod, right? And people that listen to tunes while they're using a lawnmower, they would probably find a iWheelchair handy after that. And finally, if these aren't funny enough, I am trying here. Finally, my favorite, the iEconomist. And what that is, it's a copy. It looks like you're reading an issue of The Economist.
Okay.
You look very smart and intelligent.
Oh, all right. But
it's actually inside. It's a place to put your iPod. There's little speakers there. It's awesome.
But how do you hide the cord?
There's no cord because there's cordless because it's just the iPod goes right into the middle of it and there's speakers.
Okay.
It's not headphones.
Oh, so you're listening to it and everybody can hear you're listening.
Well, not if you have it. These are special speakers.
I thought you were supposed to be fooling everybody about it. I think you're reading about it. Economics.
So that is my iPod inventions. And
how
Merry Christmas.
How long did you think of those? No. Did that take you a long time?
No, it did not. I'm that fast.
Well, my last thing I wanted to talk about Christmas, you talked about music last week.
Right.
Last podcast about Christmas musicians and the ones that always come out. You know, I was thinking there's been ones that have come out maybe in the last 10 or 20 years, songs. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, which songs do you think are actually going to outlast us? You know, that'll still be being played 100 years from now. They're still relatively new.
Right.
And I started to think of the ones that, that you hear them now and you go, you know, that is a really good song and that probably will last. Something like John Lennon said, "This is Christmas."
I was just going to say that one.
That one probably will last.
I love hearing it still every time I hear it.
Right. So what about these? What about Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas?
How does it go again?
You weren't supposed to ask me that. Yeah, okay, you might have to find these and play them.
Yeah, I know how it goes. Yeah, I love Paul
McCartney. It's a really catchy song, actually.
And it's kind of catchy, but it's kind of really lame catchy at the same time.
Well,
it's kind of lame.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time,
yeah,
that's the verse.
It just seems lame. Right? And I love Paul McCartney. I hate to say that.
So you don't think that one will make it. Okay, ixnay that one.
I don't know.
How about Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad?
Oh, I can't stand it.
Oh, man, you're bad.
Gross.
How about Eartha Kitt, Santa Baby?
That's a standard now. You know,
is a great one.
I've got it in my iPod about three times because it's in three different Christmas compilations.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's a standard.
How about Elton John, Step Into Christmas?
That could make it.
Maybe.
It could. It's kind of poppy. Could make it.
Maybe. How about Elvis, Blue Christmas?
Yeah, standard.
Standard.
Yeah.
Kenny Loggins, Celebrate Me Home.
I mean, come on, that's classic.
Yes, that is classic.
Okay, what was it? Kenny Loggins?
Kenny Loggins, Celebrate Me Home.
I love that
song.
That's
a beautiful song,
I think it's a beautiful song. I don't know if that's classic material. Maybe it is.
Maybe.
You know, I haven't heard it this year.
Oh, I hear it a lot. Well,
oh, you do?
Then again, I'm on.
You've got the Sirius going on.
XM station.
Does it come on? Which Christmas station does
it come on? 103, 104, 109, 109. I don't know. They play
classic
a lot.
Christmas, or do they have a Loggins Christmas station?
That's probably only Loggins all the time. Okay, this one.
Only Loggins Christmas.
I'd vote for this one, but you probably hate it. Barbra Streisand's My Favorite Things.
Sorry, I love that one.
Do
you? I'm not gay.
Whiskers on Kittens.
She's like butter.
Yes, she is.
I love Barbra Streisand. Always have, always will.
She is. Okay, Wham, yeah. Last Christmas.
Yeah, pretty good song.
That is a
fun
good song. Remember
Wham?
Yeah.
I kind of put it with Elton John. I like it.
That's right.
I don't know if it's classic potential, you know? I don't know. Maybe.
Beach Boys, Little Saint Nick.
I don't know if I know that one.
You would recognize it if you heard it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Probably. Beach Boys are great.
This one was a big one when we were in high school. Greg Lakes, I Believe in Father Christmas. Remember Emerson, Lake, and Palmer? How hot they were.
Yes, but I don't remember the song.
I Believe in Father Christmas. Oh, it's got cute little bells ringing.
Really?
It's a pretty song. He's got a lovely voice.
Oh, cool.
So maybe that one won't.
Yeah.
And how about Baby It's Cold Outside? I've heard like four versions of it, but Ella Fitzgerald.
Go to iTunes and look at Baby It's Cold Outside. There's a million
versions.
And have you heard the version that I did with my friend Carol?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Actually.
Yeah, it's
that.
A well cut.
That already, was a very nice one.
It's already a Christmas classic.
It is a Christmas classic.
Yeah.
True. Okay, that's all I want to talk about.
How about what is the one that the British, the popular British pop artist did about 20 years ago? It was like a compilation tune. It's kind of a We Are the World.
Oh, okay,
for
right,
Christmas.
Right, right.
And
it was
I think
for Christmas.
That's a pretty good song.
That was a good song.
I like
Everybody
it.
Everybody sang a line.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do they know?
Do they
it's
remember Christmas?
It's Christmas time at all?
Yep, that's it. I haven't heard that this Christmas.
I've heard that.
Hmm.
And there's a song called This Christmas. I've got a cover from it by Harry Connick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I'm trying to think. I wish I would have been prepared for this, but it was written by a guy, a soul artist from the 80s that died recently. Not recently, probably died 10 years ago. Hathaway. Donny Hathaway.
Really?
This Christmas. I love the song. I like Harry Connick's version. I actually have heard Donny Hathaway's version of it, too, and that was great, too.
Wow.
And maybe it doesn't have enough inertia to become a standard, but I'd vote for that one, potentially.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be
So let's go to some news stories, if we could.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see where the world's tallest man saved the dolphin's life?
Yes, wasn't that sweet?
I think that was a wonderful story.
That was great. Whoever thought of that was such a brilliant. Let's go get the world's tallest man to help this dolphin.
He's a herdsman, only an hour away.
I know, in Inner Mongolia. And look, the dolphins are right here in Outer Mongolia.
Serendipity.
That was wild.
You know, it's so silly and serendipitous that I can't help but think that this is totally staged. I mean, why would they need a man with the longest arm, which is what they needed? Why couldn't surgery do it? The explanation that I saw is surgical instruments made him contract his stomach so they couldn't get in there and get some plastic that the dolphin had eaten off the aquarium walls.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems a little contrived to me. But anyways, it's a feel-good story.
Maybe they had to find a job for him. Maybe his herding wasn't going so well, and he needed something, you know.
When you're 7'9", herding can be a little bit tough because the sheep are pretty darn afraid of you. So his arms, Gretchen, were 41.7 inches.
Yeah, that's
now,
amazing.
I did some research.
Did you graph yours compared to his?
Now, see, that's not a compelling graph. That's just two data points. I need to teach you much, Grasshopper. So, but I did look at some numbers. The average male, and this is worldwide median, has a 29.5-inch arm compared to this guy's 41.7-inch arm. The average female has a 27.6-inch arm. So what's that? A difference of about 2 inches.
Well,
how about that? Anyway, the guy's name is Bao Yishun. 47 years old, and thanks, Brow.
For saving the dolphin.
So, one more story.
Mm-hmm.
May I?
No, sure.
All right.
Sure.
How about the climbers?
How about the climbers?
So, it's as of this reading, as of this production date, they still have not discovered the other two. But
mm-hmm.
things don't look very good. They're all but calling it off at this point. So what I thought was interesting, Gretchen, is in the news in the last couple of days. Well, first of all, at this point, they had enough food and supplies, essentially, for a planned 6-day trip up and back. 4 days into it is when, I guess, the search started. I'm not quite sure why. I guess that's when a distress
that's
call
when
was
the distress
made or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it's been 10 days since that. So
right.
They've been 14 days on a 6-day supply. Plus, the guy that Kelly James that was found deceased in his snow hut, they found that he had a dislocated shoulder. So obviously,
mm-hmm.
there's been some falling and turbulent weather and so forth. What was interesting in the last couple of days in the news is there's stories on every news outlet about how much money this is costing to save the guys. And I thought, wow, that's a little distasteful. I mean, first of all, there's also a lot of news groups, if you look around, and people are complaining, well, these guys, you know, rah, 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 knew what they were doing, and why are we going to save them and, you know, spend so much taxpayer money, so forth and so on. But, you know, Gretchen, I kind of actually think that's one of the good parts of human spirit, is that we want to help and save people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's overall a pretty good thing. And it's not like they're going to, you know, keep this up for 2 months.
No.
There is an element of realism, and they've already are starting to scale it down with a realization that...
Well, I think one of the things I heard about it was that they don't charge the families for
right.
any kind of rescue efforts any time.
No, that's not true what I read. Now,
right.
what I read was that if the people that they're rescuing were negligent.
Oh, okay.
And these guys clearly were not negligent.
Right.
And even then, though, it is capped by like $500 per person. So it's almost like a token.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. But isn't that part of why we pay taxes and why we're part of a society?
I think it is.
You know, I mean, I
do.
We pay for the sheriffs, or the citizens of Oregon are paying for the sheriffs.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
And we pay for the Black Hawk helicopters that are looking for them. So what is the problem? I mean, we're all taxpayers. If it was us, we'd be wanting them to be looking for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So. But that's the other interesting thing that I had to note about this. It would not be us. Not in this situation. Of course, there'd be other emergencies and so forth.
Well, you didn't know I have a new hobby? That I'm going to Mount Hood in 2 weeks. I mean,
discover some tools on the way up and
yeah,
some people.
Really? God.
Hey, I found them. Anybody there?
God.
Oh, no. We've got a snow cave all nicely made for me.
Oh, jeez. It's one of the toughest mountains to climb, apparently.
Yeah, and but that's the thing about these guys is that they're very experienced. They knew what they were doing.
Right.
There was one article that said, hey, they could have gone in summertime. The weather's a lot better.
Better, yeah. Well,
but that's the whole point.
Right.
They've probably done that, been there,
right.
done that. They're looking for a challenge, and to some extent, they knew that there was risks.
I heard an expert say it was interesting they didn't have a GPS system because they're a couple hundred bucks.
Really?
And all they had to do was have it on them, and they could have been found immediately.
Oh, that's interesting.
That just seems like pretty good insurance for even smart folks like them in the middle of winter.
Yeah. That does, actually. And what kind of surprised me, too, is that the guy that they left behind, they didn't leave, that they found no bivy bag with him. And I didn't know what a bivy bag was. I'm not no mountaineering expert, but I Googled it and was able to get an answer, surprisingly, by using a newfangled technology on those internets.
What?
Called Googles. So anyway, a bivy bag is short for bivouac bag. I don't know how to say it correctly. Anyway, it's a very light and bag that everybody would have. It's completely insulating, keeps you very warm.
Really?
Yeah, it's really pretty cool technology. You wouldn't venture it without it. But they left him with that one, which, you know, it'll be interesting to see what unveils here.
Right.
But I wonder if they sort of left him. And I mean, I'm sure they didn't do anything to him.
Right.
I'm sure everything was agreed upon. But I wonder if they sort of maybe realized that was it for him.
Hmm.
I don't know. Well, I just don't know. There's probably other reasons. And there's also probably some. Yes, they did. They probably also have some well-established policies that mountaineers know.
Mm-hmm.
One person gets injured, I'm sure. Like, that never happens. I'm sure there's set procedures and there's discussion beforehand
about
what kind of things you do. What the alternatives are. So you're not scrambling. I don't think these guys scramble at the last minute. Gee, what do we do?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
We're surprised now.
Right. So that's all I got to say about that.
Mm. Yeah, it is a sad situation.
Story.
Yeah. So that's like the second time in a month or so that nature has definitely taken a toll on some.
Yeah.
It's a very unfortunate situation.
Yeah, it is.
And did you hear the footnote to the James Lynn story?
No.
About the.
I saw the headline. Didn't see the footnote.
About.
I saw what was scribbled in the margins. I did not catch the footnote, though.
Well, the footnote was kind of disturbing, but it was.
It was in small print. I didn't have my glasses.
The call went out to the head person in charge of the search on a Sunday afternoon, and he was watching the football game and didn't want to take it. And Oregon State football, and didn't take the call.
Oh, that was a big game. Yeah. I can relate.
Stop it.
So, wait, what does that mean? Is
it means that they could have been on it faster, but he declined to take the call. And one of the people in the helicopter said they thought they saw tire tracks in the snow. And again, it wasn't acted upon very quickly. And so they're just saying that it was maybe not handled as well as it should have been. That's still not going to bring him back. But still,
right.
for future searches,
right.
you know, every day counts. And
so
it was
any,
really
any
the bottom
lawsuits
line.
Potential?
No, I haven't heard that yet, but stay tuned.
Yeah, really.
Hey, and also stay tuned for this. Have you heard about the new television ad?
I've heard about that.
WakeUpWalmart.com. Have you heard about it?
I haven't heard it.
Well, you're going to be seeing it. 43 markets. Here it comes.
Can't wait.
You're going to be a pastor looking right at you, and you know what he's going to ask?
What? Wake up Walmart? Are you waking up at Walmart?
Jesus shop at Walmart?
Oh, no, you're kidding me.
Would Jesus shop at Walmart, and should you?
So wait a minute, is this an advertiser? This is
union,
for Walmart?
Union-backed group? No, not for Walmart
Anti-Walmart,
at all.
Walmart,
Anti-Walmart.
Okay.
130 clergy has also sent a letter to CEO Lee Scott of Walmart saying that they're asking him, shouldn't Walmart be providing a higher standard for its employees and their family to reflect the best of Christian values? It's going to be running in 43 markets. And actually, it should be running now. And are we continuing to shop at Walmart without insulting God? Asks the pastor on the ad. He says that Walmart has allegedly violated child labor laws and engaged in gender bias discrimination, which there are a gazillion lawsuits filed against them.
Right.
And says half of the company's 1.3 million U.S. employees aren't covered under health care. They don't have no health care. And so the union is backing this ad.
So
it's just such a wakeupwalmart.com. I need to go check it out.
So I think it's great that there's organized groups out there that are fighting the way Walmart's treating
Walmart,
its employees. I think
right?
it's fantastic. I think it's super, super lame that they're using Jesus and God for this.
I know. Wouldn't Jesus be appalled to think that his name is associated with the world's largest retailer?
And I would think I would think top Christian leaders would also sort of like, you know, call these guys from Walmart or these anti-Walmart guys and say, hey, you know, dudes, you're making us look like idiots. Come on.
Right.
You know, it stands, the problems that they're having stand on their own.
Yeah. I don't think you need to ask that question. What would Jesus shop at Walmart? I think he's the target kind of guy.
It depends on where he lived and what proximity was.
That's true. What he was looking for that day.
Exactly. Oh, boy. Well, did you see the changes I made to the website?
Yes, I did.
So I added a new logo. I put in a new logo. I never really loved the old one before. Got a new logo. I also we have always had real-time streaming capabilities on the website, but I've just made it more obvious now. So for those that don't want to, you know, sign up to a feed, that can be kind of technical. Some people don't want to deal with that or even know what it is. So you can just go to the website and listen in real time to the show. No downloading. I mean, it downloads as you listen, assuming that you have a high-speed connection. So it's really convenient. And the other thing is, again, I've had this, but I've made it more noticeable, is that on the show page itself, you can sign up for and get an email every time we update the show. And it's a little bit early 90s, okay? But it's very... But get this, I also embedded a real-time player in the feed itself. So what this means, for those non-techies, is that if you sign up for the darn email, you'll get an email every time we update the show with the show notes, and in that email is a little player that all you do is press play, and it's going to start playing right away. Is that cool
or
what?
You are amazing.
It's old tech. It's not as new tech as the RSS feed, but, you know, I think... Except for our technical people that listen to this, which is probably most of the people anyways. But, you know, we're trying to extend the podcast out to everybody. And I'm surprised that I have more email subscribers than I would have thought. So, anyways, that's what I've done. So, pretty cool.
Pat on the back, Joe. There you go.
Thank you.
I may have to get you one of those top 10 worst iPod gifts just for doing that.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Or some of the ones, please, that you made up. No, I was thinking the toilet paper one sounds really good.
Well, you got something queued up there?
Right now? Yeah. Yeah, I guess he's coming back after 16 years. No, not him. No, but he's coming tomorrow. This is a big deal.
Santa Claus?
No.
After 16 years.
16 years. He's coming tomorrow. He's coming to theaters. His name's Rocky Balboa.
Oh, hey, you know
he's
what?
I heard
a review on NPR.
He's back, uh-huh.
They loved it.
Well, here's the question.
They thought it was very, very well done.
Are there lots of moviegoers who really want to see 60-year-old Sylvester Stallone step back into the ring? And the answer, supposedly, is yes.
I mean, when I heard it was coming out, and I just thought, oh, God, this is going to be awful. Because everything after Rocky 1 was awful, right?
Actually, technically not. Three and four grossed $115 million.
Well, I'm talking about awful.
Oh, you're talking about quality. You're talking about the quality and not the money.
But this one, the reviewers I've seen, I haven't seen all the reviewers, but the reviewers I've heard have said this.
It's good.
He makes an emotional movie. It's a fitting end to the
Rocky. It's a really strong script, and there's good feelings in people about Rocky.
Yeah.
And because there's been such a long lag time.
Yep.
There's ready for sort of a new generation, and because it's been on TV and because you can buy the DVDs, everybody's familiar with the character, even if you weren't even born 16 years ago. Everybody knows the character. The character is award-winning. I mean, it was Academy Award material when the
first
one came out.
The first movie was a great movie.
It was an amazing movie.
And this movie captures some of that in the sense that what I've heard is that they capture the underdoggedness of
the first one.
Of the first one, yeah.
So anyhow, he had the premiere last night in Philadelphia, and it was just, people came from all over the world to just be there just because it was Philadelphia, and this character has never been so associated with the city. I mean, these two are just so entwined. Most of it was filmed in Philadelphia. There's a statue of Rocky Balboa by the Philadelphia Art Museum. But this is the new trend in Hollywood, that they're resurrecting old characters after many years away. So next up is Bruce Willis. He's going to star in the fourth Die Hard movie.
That's really not needed.
Then how about this one? Here comes the fourth Beverly Hills Cop movie starring Eddie Murphy.
Oh, the four can't be enough.
And here comes also, get this, Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones again.
Oh, my God.
Does anybody really want to see him put on the hat and trek to Egypt or wherever he's going to go?
No, it's too much. And Eddie Murphy is just coming off what I've heard is a stellar performance.
Dreamgirls.
And now he's going to do this crap again.
Well.
I caught the first Beverly Hills Cop, which when I saw it, when I was young, I thought this was funny.
It was funny, yeah.
I caught it again on cable maybe 2 months ago, and I thought, oh, this is awful. I really did.
I guess your tastes have matured.
Yeah, I can't say that.
But the reason that the studios are doing the sequels is because they're more profitable than the average film. Not more profitable than the original, but more profitable than the average film, and they're pretty much a safe bet, so it's sort of money in the bank. And not only that, but the DVD libraries, this gives the studios an opportunity to update the DVD library, and now they're getting so many more sales from DVDs that they want to do the anthologies. And they may have a winner on their hands only if the DVD does well. It doesn't necessarily have to do well in the theater.
Wow.
I thought that was interesting. So stay tuned for the old characters coming back. And the first one's going to be Rocky. I will probably go see it, actually.
I've heard good things. I want to go see it. Well, I've got a movie recommendation, probably one of the best of the year. This is on Talk Cinema Last Sunday, which is, for those who are familiar with the blog, you've known that I've talked about this sometimes. It's a preview screening, because I'm special. No, not because I'm special, because I pay money. And this movie is called The Painted Veil. It's based on a book by Somerset Maugham, and it stars Edward Norton. Wait, is that his name?
Ed Norton, okay.
And I can't remember the name of the woman now, so I should have written this down, but I was going to prepare for this, and I forgot all about it until you mentioned that movie. But I did want to say...
It was that stellar, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a fantastic movie, and it takes place in...
Yes.
It happens when I do things off the cuff here.
Do you want to keep writing it down, and I'll talk about... A wrap-up of 2006, and you can maybe it'll all come back to you. What country?
I can't remember now.
Present day?
But you know,
future?
China. Of course, it's China. Duh. And it's just a great movie. It's about an unconventional love story, but it's got a lot of...
Oh, is he the minister?
He's not a minister. No.
Okay. All
he plays actually a doctor that goes over there because there's an infectious disease.
Right, and they didn't want to be married or something.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I saw a preview for it.
Very, very highly recommend.
Was it good?
Very touching. Very, very good. Not touching in a goofy, girly way.
Oh, we wouldn't want that.
It's
got to be a guy kind of touching.
It's a really, really well done movie.
Good.
Yeah. So, well, I've got something. May I go?
No, sure.
Okay. The 10 most respected jobs. AOL just came out with this.
Okay.
And so we're going to go in order from number one.
Let me guess.
No, wait. We'll go from number 10 up to number one.
Oh. Well, I can't guess number 10. All right. I can guess number one.
Guess number one.
In the U.S.?
Yeah.
In the U.S.
This is the U.S.
U.S. It's got to be a doctor.
Very good.
And then followed by lawyer.
No.
No.
Lawyer doesn't appear in the top 10.
No, that's wrong. That's so wrong. I dispute that.
I think lawyers have a bad, all the lawyer jokes and stuff. I don't think they get up there. Number two is soldier. By the way, a doctor makes $151,000. A soldier makes $16,000 as a median.
Okay.
Third is
firefighter.
Close. That's fourth.
Okay.
Third is teacher.
Okay.
$50,000 median salary.
Mm-hmm.
Firefighter is fourth, $38,000 median salary.
Mm-hmm.
Number five is CEO, chief executive officer, with a $644,000 median salary.
And that's low for most of them.
Yeah. Number six, that doesn't include bonuses.
Yeah,
right?
That doesn't include
stock options.
Mm-hmm.
Scientist, $88,000. Number seven is engineer with $62,000.
Woo.
Police officer comes in at number eight with $46,000.
Uh-huh.
An architect, $40,000 at number nine. And number 10 surprised me a little bit, number 10. All of those before didn't surprise me. I would have expected nurse maybe to be on the list. But number 10 is accountant at $48,000. Now,
wow.
I don't have anything against accountants. I just never thought of it as, highly
especially
respected.
Over a lawyer. Oh, my God.
But, okay, so I got the least respected jobs. Although this doesn't exactly go 101 because I couldn't find the least respected ones in America. I could only find it in England.
Oh, okay.
They somewhat translate, though.
Okay. garbage hauler.
The most least respected job.
Grave digger.
Is actually an MP or member of parliament. Just like our congressman.
Really? Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. So number two least respected is the estate agent. Now, I don't know what that is in England. I'm guessing real estate agent.
It's not somebody who, I don't know, disposes of an estate.
Could be an estate planner of some sort. Yeah, so it's not clear. Third one is government minister. So I would assume that's like a cabinet member, something like that. Number four is lawyer, or as they say in England, a barrister.
A barrister.
Number five, you'll love this one, Gretchen, journalist. Now, I'll bet 40 years ago, a journalist was one of the most respected. But, I mean, they just got a bad name now.
Yeah, well, with all the tabloid journalism, yeah. For sure.
Number six, I love this one. I love the name. Footballer.
Oh. Soccer player, right?
Yeah. Yep. Footballer.
Footballer,
And then you got advertising executive. Number eight, you car dealer.
Oh.
Number nine is a company director. I don't know if that's the same thing as a CEO.
I think it's like a managing director. Okay. It's the person who runs the local office.
Runs like
office.
A business unit or an
business
office.
Business unit, uh-huh.
Okay. And then number 10, the least respected, is accountant.
Oh, jeez. Good Lord.
So they're not respected in England, but they're respected in America.
The US. Yeah, and lawyers aren't on. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so go figure that, huh?
Are you going to change careers now based
Thinking
on that list?
It. Yeah, I'm going to become
want to be a soldier?
A soldier.
There you go. You know, they might have a job for you in Iraq, since there's a little debate about whether we're sending a few more troops or not. Oh, and did you see the overall... president's approval rating when it comes to Iraq is at an all-time low now.
Oh, it is.
28%.
Wow.
That's really bad.
And he just today decided to, they're going to expand the military, which actually is probably not a super, super bad idea. Make it larger in the next few years. I mean, hopefully it's just temporary. For every 1,000 soldiers, I didn't write it down, it's like $1 million extra budget that we need.
Wow.
It's not a good situation.
No,
we're in.
No, we're not. So speaking about reflecting on the situation, you thought about this is year end. So, you know, everybody's talking about, so what were the big stories in 2006? And everybody sort of looks back.
Right.
You know, your 2006 roundup.
Right.
You want to round up?
Yeah, go ahead and round up. I haven't thought about it. But
you want to round up?
Katrina's certainly up there.
No, that didn't happen in 06.
Oh, it didn't?
No, that was 05, remember?
It was so big that
August
it really worked
of 05.
For both years.
August of 05. It was 05.
It was really that big.
It was 05. But right now, this is a current CNN poll going on. It's not over yet, but the top news story of 2006, a quarter of the voters are saying it's the Democratic takeover of Congress.
Oh, really?
That's the top news story, followed by...
How about that?
This one surprised me, the Darfur crisis in Sudan.
You never hear about
that. You never hear about it. And that's the problem. We're not hearing about it. We're not doing enough. And yet, it's supposedly the second biggest news story.
I'm doing my fair share in Darfur, I want you to know. I'm sending truckloads of iPod toilets. I am. I mean, I just think it's the least I can do. No iPods. I don't have money for that.
No iPods. The third biggest story was the Israeli Hezbollah fighting in Lebanon, which hasn't completely died down, and we'll probably be hearing more about that.
Yep.
And fourth was Donald Rumsfeld's resignation in the Iraqi war. 10% think that that's the biggest. So the other stories that were ranked up there, immigration debate, North Korea nuclear scare, the Sego mine disaster. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was sort of
riveting. I thought that was 2005.
No. Don't forget John Mark Carr's false confession. Good Lord. That maniac.
I think I saw a TV movie.
That gives journalists a bad name right
there. Yes, exactly. It does.
Scandals, Congress. Mark Foley.
Oh, Mark Foley's got to be up
and
there.
And Ted Haggard. Yeah, 3%. And celebs' bad behavior, 2%.
Yeah.
So did you hear about Time's Person of the Year?
It's me, baby.
It is all about you.
It's
you, and you.
I picked up an issue in the newsstand, and who did I see?
You.
I saw me.
You did.
And I thought, yeah, I'm buying this.
Web 2.0, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
The tool for bringing together the contributions of millions of people and making them matter. So it's the revolution, and that's what they're calling
it. Well, have you ever heard of a website called Dig?
No.
Okay, so then that's my point.
What? I didn't hear about my fathead either or whatever.
No, this is not. I'm not blaming on you. My point is nobody knows about Dig except technology
geeks.
Geeks, yeah.
Okay.
So Dig is a social networking thing.
Okay.
And the idea of it is really to, so that if you're really into blogging, you can blog blog articles that really interest you, and there's a little button, if they're dig participants, that you can dig these articles. D-I-G-G.
Okay.
Not dig them as in thinking they're groovy.
Okay.
And the things that get the most dig responses get to the top of the list and make the dig front page.
Okay.
And so the whole idea is that...
But it's all personal opinion about an article?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But basically, you're contributing to identify the good articles and things that are relevant and important. And it's kind of a neat idea, but now they just opened.
But what are the articles all about? Anything, or is it just about technology?
It's about anything.
Okay.
It can be about anything, but surprise, surprise, most of it is around technology. That's the only people using Dig. So, about a week ago, and the reason I mentioned it is about a week ago, they just started a podcasting Dig site, and I can't think of any good reason to have it. So. And because people on the podcasting forums, there's a couple of big forums that people talk about, and everybody's saying, dig me, dig my show. It's like, you know, voting for them.
Right.
And there's really there's no really compelling reason for a podcast listener to dig a show. You don't get anything out of it. But it is social networking to some extent. For blogs and news items, I can kind of understand that, you know, some guy in Roanoke, Virginia has a really interesting in-depth opinion on something that matters, and a lot of people really like it. It's a great way to bring that up into some emphasis. A podcast, an hour-long podcast like ours, for example, you're just voting because you're just like, ooh, I like this one, he's my friend.
Right,
you know,
right.
Stupidest thing in the world. So I don't know why I bring that up, but it's just on my mind lately is that things, and the fact that you don't even know what Dig is my point. You shouldn't know about Dig. It's totally useless to you for podcasting anyways. For news, you might go to the front page and look at the most digged articles.
So it's a written version of YouTube.
To some extent.
Kind of.
I'm simplifying it a little bit. There's also some tagging things like Delicious does. From what I looked for Dig, they're not doing it now, but there's potential, I think, for some type of collaborative filtering. You know, the idea where if you dig enough stuff, it'll get smart about what you like and what you don't like.
Oh, right, uh-huh.
I think it has potential to possibly do that, but collaborative filtering never works unless it's, you have, you know, huge, huge amounts of data, so I don't know. But anyway, so what do you think about the time thing?
The other people that were in the running... They were bad guys.
And those?
They were a bunch of the bad guys. You know, the president of Iran, the president of North Korea, the president of China, and who else was in the running? There was one.
How about the president of, what's the country where they're eating rats in Africa?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just heard about that.
It had been
the former, the really rich one, and now it's the really poor one.
Right.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, no, but it is, it's surprising. I think people went, you? Really? Is that going to sell the magazine? Well, maybe.
Yeah.
But what was interesting is that they did sort of recap all the people who mattered. They call it people who mattered in 06.
Right.
So this is sort of a trip down memory lane for 06. So you can sort of remember at the beginning of the year when you heard about them a lot, and now maybe not hear about them so much. But Pluto made the list for people who mattered.
But he's not a person.
Little Pluto, but that's all right. They take liberties with it, you know.
So whatever happened to that? They're going to study it in depth, whether it's going to get planet status back or not. Do you hear anything?
No, they didn't re-vote, as far as I know.
Okay.
But
so still in the running.
Pluto.
So still dig Pluto, people.
Yeah, there you go. Jack Abramoff made the list because now he's serving his 70-month prison term and for fraud, tax evasion, and conspiracy. And he took down 7 public officials with him.
Yeah.
Murtada al-Sadr is the radical Shiite cleric who's
controls
30 votes in Iraq, and he made the list. Sacha Baron Cohen made the list for Borat. You can see that.
Yep.
Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld with the subhead, reality catches up with an axis of denial. Excellent subhead.
They
said that in Time magazine.
Yeah.
Raul Castro made the list for being out of Fidel's shadow. Hugo.
Oh, come on. Fidel is like sitting there in his deathbed. He can hardly breathe, and Raul is still in his shadow.
Yeah, well, yeah, he is, but we're going to be hearing a lot more about him, actually. Hugo Chavez, who hates Mr. Bush, elected in a landslide.
What did he do in the UN? He smelled the devil or something?
Yes, he smelled like the devil. That was George. Yeah, well, the fact that he's completely reelected. Stephen Colbert made the list from the Colbert Report.
Yep.
The grain farmer made the list. Now, we talked about this a bit, and this is, okay, the price of meat is going to go up, people, because all the corn is now going to ethanol.
Right.
Because that's where the money is. So corn's going to ethanol, but you still need that corn to feed your pigs and your cows. So price of meat's going up. Take my word for it. So Katie Couric made the list for breaking up the Anchorman monopoly.
Bill, you know, I've always thought that was a non-starter, non-story, but it's interesting that you'd bring it up, and I know it made a lot of newsworthy news articles about it, but it just never meant anything to me. Why was it so? Because she was a woman?
Because she broke the gender barrier for traditional male-dominated news at 6:30, Family News Hour. You know, I mean, this was before the rise of cable. Remember the Walter Cronkite era?
No, see, and you know, 30 years ago, to me, this would have been big.
Mm-hmm.
But now with so much news and so many young, pretty women anchors, it means so little to me.
Well, but they tried it with, you know, a couple other people, Connie Chung. and who else tried it for a little bit? Oh, Barbara Waters, didn't she do it a little bit?
I don't know.
Diane Sawyer. Diane Sawyer do it? And nobody lasted, so.
Oh, so Katie Couric didn't actually break the sex barrier.
Well, being held full-time, I think Connie was maybe the substitute or whatever, but this is her full-time job.
Okay.
Who else made the list? Bill Ford made the list for the $7 billion hole in his pocket, which I thought was really, really pretty well written, but he, the first 9 months of 2006 alone, Ford lost $7 billion, and he's had to cut 52,000 jobs and close 16 factories, and Ford is barely hanging on.
Wow.
And he's finally stepped down.
Wow.
Just because his name was Ford, didn't work.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox were people who mattered. The Democratic team of Reid, Schumer, Emanuel, and Pelosi made the list because they turned it around in November. Al Gore made the list for $39 million in ticket sales for An Inconvenient Truth.
Wow.
Plus the bestseller spot for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's coming out on DVD. So there you go.
Excellent.
For Hypocrisy, Ted Haggard and Mark Foley made the list.
Yeah.
All about Hypocrisy. The cast of Heroes made the list. No, I haven't watched that. Did you watch
really?
It? The show?
Oh, yeah, I like it.
Okay,
like
well, it made the list. The whole
but I'm
cast.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. Iraqi Citizens made the list, and this was really a very sad story, but they actually covered what's happening to an actual family just being torn apart by all the deaths. This poor little girl has been orphaned 3 times now because everybody in her family keeps getting killed or tortured or shot, or they're deserting. So many middle-class Iraqi citizens have left if they can get out of the country, and there's hardly anybody left that are not concerned that they're going to die at some point. It's just a very, very dangerous place to be in Iraqi.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Kim Jong-il made the list.
Yeah.
For being in part of the most dangerous club.
Oh, not for his hair?
No, not for his stature. His big stature.
Not for his styling.
The Iraqi study group made the list.
What about for his karaoke skills? I heard they're quite good.
That might be why he made it. Angela Merkel made the list. She's the German chancellor. I mentioned her as the most powerful woman in the world.
Right.
She's on it. John Murtha made the list.
She's the one that George Bush gave a back rub to.
That's right. That was her.
Yeah.
That was her. Yeah, but she's turned Germany around. They're actually a happy country these days.
They're getting a lot of massages.
They're having a good time. They actually had a World Cup and everything, and their unemployment's in single digits now. It's go Germany.
Wow.
Ooh, that's the Merkel effect.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling it. John Murtha made the list for actually coming out to say the U.S. cannot accomplish anything further in Iraq militarily, so it's time to bring the troops home.
Yeah. He said it when no one else did.
He said it first. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto, which we mentioned, Pope Benedict, he made it.
Yeah.
Condoleezza Rice made it. Even though she works for a very unpopular president, she's still pretty popular, and
yeah,
she's still
she
trying
is.
To do the
she
job.
Is.
Stephen Schwartzman made the list. I don't know him, but he runs the Blackstone Group, which apparently is taking a number of companies from public to private hands, about $370 billion this past year alone.
Huh.
He controls a lot of equity in the country. Hmm. Roger Federer and Tiger Woods are the world's most elite athletes, and now they're best friends, or they're becoming best friends.
Aww,
which I
that's
thought was sweet.
I'm going to have to get some some fatheads with them.
That's right. There you go. You can put them together. They can hold hands.
Aww, that'd be nice.
Yeah. So that was it. It's an interesting issue. Now you don't need to buy it.
Yeah.
There you go, Tom. Well, for people who wouldn't have bought it anyhow, I've summarized it.
Yay. Hey, I just noticed I have one more Christmas thing.
Oh, well, let's not forget Christmas.
And then I think that'll probably wrap us up.
Okay.
We're getting to the hour point. So I'll try to be fast. I actually just added this to the blog tonight, so I won't give you the reference. But it's an article in a blog called 25 Gadgets That Save You Money.
Ooh.
And I thought it was pretty cool. So I'm not going to list all these 25s, too many, but I'm going to list some of the ones that I thought were kind of fun, interesting, and some of them I have already. So I'm saving money as we speak.
There you go.
All right, first one is TiVo. The payback for TiVo is 6 months. Why? Because if you have cable, assuming you have cable, but that's part of the cost thing, you'll have to buy less DVD purchases and rentals because there's so much content on cable that you didn't even know was there until you started programming the thing.
Hmm.
So 6 month payback on TiVo. Hybrid car, for the obvious reasons, but the payback is not quite as nice. It's a 5 year payback, what they estimate. A laptop computer, 1 year payback. The idea here is if you're looking at buying a desktop or a laptop,
right.
They said laptops are so reliable now that reliability is not the issue it once was.
Okay.
But they use a lot less energy. And if you're really smart, you can charge it at work or charge it at the Starbucks.
Oh,
and then run it on battery when you're home.
So that you save that 3 cents of electricity?
Well, it's a 1 year payback, so, you know.
Wow. Because I was thinking about buying a new one, but I hadn't thought about that laptop.
So efficient space heater can save, the payback here is like over one winter. I looked it up, the one they were recommending as an efficient one, $17. That's it. And you can shut off the heat from a couple rooms with it. So I never would have even thought
about it. But it's a portable space heater?
Yeah.
But those are the things that cause the most fires in the middle of winter, too.
But I think they're a lot better now.
You just have to be careful, though.
Right.
Yeah.
An espresso cappuccino maker. This is my favorite. This can save you 80. The payback here is after 80 visits to the Starbucks. So.
But what if you don't drink coffee? Do you still get that payback?
I don't think you get the payback.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right. I guess I should run out and get one and go, where's my payback after my 80 cups of the long trips to Starbucks?
Exactly.
Mm.
An efficient shower head. There's a payback here of 10 months. And the idea here is that it's not really saving money from your water bill so much. It's the electrical or the gas that heats up the hot water.
Okay.
Compact fluorescent light bulbs. In fact, I've got some in the studio. The overhead lights here are compact fluorescents.
What, that one bulb?
Not that one in the middle of the room that I have to shut off because they're fluorescent. So fluorescence doesn't do good for audio production, unfortunately. But there's a 10-month payback. I'm sorry, a 4-month payback for these things because they just last forever.
Hmm.
And you get about the same amount of light.
Hmm.
Finally, the one that another one I thought was interesting is a filtered water bottle. These are little water bottles with a filter on them. After 180 days of daily use, assuming you have buy a bottle of water a day,
mm-hmm.
This will save you money because you can just use tap water.
Oh, and it filters it automatically. Where do you get that? I haven't seen that.
I don't know. I can send you the reference, link to it. So all these can save you money. So they're good gift ideas. We still have 5 days, as Gretchen pointed out before. Check out the reference. Will be it's on the blog part of the This and That podcast website. And also include it in the show notes. So thisandthatpodcast.com. Check out our new logo.
Well.
You will love it. Gretchen, the initial reactions that I've heard from the new logo, I think it's going to bring in probably 1,000 more listeners.
Yeah, that logo will do it, Jeff.
People like logos.
There you go. That's it.
So I did want to give out our phone number.
Okay.
If I can find it here. Because it changes every 2 weeks.
It's 214 something.
206, actually. Area code 206, because they offer the free service. 206-337-1670. 206-337-1670. Call, leave a comment, and we'll play it on the air if it's clean and relevant and we deem it editorially appropriate. Passes our massive filters, because I don't know why. We need stuff. We need calls. So, Although we never run out of material. We're already, I thought we'd do a half an hour show today since we did a show last week, and we're already, I think, past the hour mark.
Oh, jeez. Well, hope you enjoyed whatever you do with it while you're listening to this. Hopefully you're doing something else, too. Right? And this is just keeping you informed.
Keeping you informed of what's right in 2006 and what's wrong.
Yeah, this is it for 2006, huh? Bye, 2006.
Say goodbye, 2006, and say hello to 2007.
Wow. I can still remember 2000. Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I still don't know what
to call
our decade.
Yeah, what are we calling this decade? Is it the 2000s?
Nothing really.
No name ever stuck.
Nothing really stuck.
Yeah.
Maybe we won't have to really come up with it until we're past it, you know, because then we say, well, remember how good it was back in the aughts? We'll say, huh?
Or back in the double zeros.
Yeah. I mean, what do we say now in the 1900s? Do we say 1900s? That implies the whole century, though, doesn't it?
That's right.
So it's a conundrum that's yet to be solved, but we have leading scientists on the task.
There's a blog topic for you.
That's a good blog topic.
Back to that. Somebody name the frickin' decade before it's over.
I'll have to dig that. See what's going on. Mm-hmm. Check it out and dig.
Because I remember in 2000 they were talking about what are we going to call this? They were. There was definite discussion about it.
They shelved that discussion. Just like they're shelving the discussion about Pluto.
Oh, poor Pluto. Poor Pluto.
So maybe both will be solved at the same time
by those
same leading scientists.
That's right. Maybe in 07 it'll be the year Pluto makes its comeback.
That's right. So. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. And Happy Hanukkah. And Happy Kwanzaa. And
Kwanzaa.
And what else did we miss?
So long.
Huh?
Farewell.
So long, farewell. Auf Wiedersehen to you.
That's right.
All right. We'll see you guys after the holidays.
Bye.
Bye.